beautiful day. Let's turn, if we could, to our scripture that is found in Luke. And we're going to start one verse early because I think that it's apropos that we start with verse 23, verse 9, Luke 9, 23. Thank you. Then he said to them all, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will save it." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So for the last few weeks, we have been in a series in which we have talked about five practices of fruitful congregations. And these practices include passionate worship, radical hospitality, risk-taking mission and service, intentional faith development, and extravagant generosity. And today we're going to focus on risk-taking mission and service. Risk-taking mission and service will take us into missions that push us outside of our comfort zone, stretching us beyond the circle of relationships and practices that we routinely have in this church. Now, you're probably saying, "Tamlin, what in the world does that have to do with our scripture today?" Well, when we're ourselves and we're comfortable, we're safe, we're predictable, we're certain of what we're going to do, things are convenient, or maybe we're even fearful, we are not living by the scripture that we have today. Because the scripture says, for those who want to save their lives, they must lose it. And those who lose their life for my sake will save it. As we practice risk-taking mission and service, God's Spirit changes us. Others are changed, and our church is changed. So if you want to follow along, please feel free to look at your bulletin insert. It's green today, and we're going forth. So we often think of mission as something that we do a mission trip, but I'm telling you that the mission of this church is something that we are called to live every day, not just when we send someone out. I want to tell you about mission that has changed my life. Really, it's changed my life for the better in every way. Many years ago, I was brand new in the church. It was 2001. I had just come in to ministry. And I was associate pastor at a church, and my primary responsibility was pastoral care. In fact, the senior pastor said to me, "Okay, I'd really like for you to do all the pastoral care, so go out and do it." I'm like, "Okay, I'll do it." Well, God had already been working on me to prepare me, but that's another story. So mission was not my responsibility, and one day the senior pastor called me into his office. He said, the deacon here that normally does missions is not feeling well. And she has two mission trips, which she is getting ready to send a group out on. And I wonder if you would take charge of these trips. I said, "Can I pray about it?" And I did. And the Lord just put it on my heart. "Yes, this is for you. Do this." I had never gone to these places before. I'd never gone to El Salvador. And so this was new for me. And then hard life. I'd never gone to Alaska That was the other trip. And I'm going to sidetrack real quickly here and tell you how we ended up going to Alaska and mission. This has nothing to do with anything except it's interesting. So we had a financial director at the church, and we had taken up an offering for Aldersgate Homes. Aldersgate Homes is for disabled, challenged individuals, and it provides them a place to live that's kind of transitional so they don't have to go out and be fully independent, but they have a safe place to live. So we'd taken up this offering for that, and the financial secretary didn't know where to send the money, so she went online, she typed in Aldersgate, and she got the address, and she sent off the check for thousands of dollars. Well, soon, it wasn't long afterwards, we got a letter from Aldersgate United Methodist Church in Juneau, Alaska. And they said, "How did you know?" They said, "We had a balloon payment due on our church, and being 2001, 9/11 had happened, financial disaster, they didn't have the money to pay it, and they were going to lose their church. And the thousands of dollars arrived just in time to save their church." And they was like, "Oh, praise God." And we're like, "Uh-oh." So we had to cut another check out of our missions fund and send it to Aldersgate Homes. But we were so blessed to be used by God in that way. And so talking back and forth with them, they said, "We need some help this summer. Could you guys come? We have a habitat house we're building. We have a summer day camp for underprivileged children. And we have 3 vacation Bible schools. We need help." And so they said, "Yes, we'll do this." So in I come. So I was amazed at everything that went into planning these trips. We were blessed because there were several people who were excellent planners, 100% better than I am. And so they pitched in as volunteers. We got it going. We went down there. I didn't know the people on that team from Adam because I was new to the church. And so we began serving side by side. There were 2 teams. Youth, I want you to hear this. The youth went out on a team of their own doing kind of clown ministry and stuff. And hundreds of people, young people, came to Jesus Christ as a result of that team going down. Young people rock. I'm telling you, you can make a big difference in the world. On my team, we were construction, and so we were challenged with putting up a church in a week at one of those kits. You may have heard of them with the steel beams. They ship them down there, and you just put it all up and put the roof on and everything. 1 week. So I was amazed to see what happened. We were working side by side with the locals, and the church went up. And at the end, we had a service in which we washed the feet of the local people. And it was a blessing, and changed my life, really. So that wasn't the most amazing thing, a church going up in a week and even hundreds of people coming to Christ. The other thing that happened, I found out about later. 2 years later, I happened to be at a breakfast table with a missionary that had come through that part of El Salvador, and he said to me, "Did you hear what happened after you left?" And I said, "No." And he says, "You know, the foreman whose feet you washed on that day, he was living with his wife to be in the future, but they were not married. They had children together. After you left, he came to me and he said, 'Why did that white woman wash my feet?' And he said, 'Because God loves you and she cares about you as well.' And so he came to Jesus Christ. He married his wife to be. She came to Jesus Christ. All the children came to Christ, and they became great leaders in the church of the building that was finished." So that was amazing. But that wasn't the end. I tell you that the people who were on the trip's lives were changed. One of the men that was on the trip owned his own nursery. Every day he worked with Hispanic folks who were out there digging ditches and planting things, and he was really good at his business. But when he worked in El Salvador side by side as brothers with those local people, his heart was touched. And he was just really, really filled with God's Spirit. And I sat across the dinner table with him, and he said, "Tamlin, I just never knew that this was possible. I'm so humbled to be here, to be working with these men, to be working side by side with them, and to see God at work here." And he said, "I don't think I've ever given my life over to Christ. I think I went to church when I was a kid, but I said, would you like to do it now?" And we both just wept as he gave his life to Christ. He emptied himself, and he allowed more of God to come in. It was amazing how his life was transformed, and that wasn't the end. There was another guy on the team, very confident salesman, really go get him, 30-something, really full of energy, amazing. One day he put a bucket of water over his head and the water was contaminated, and boy, was he sick. He was down low, humbled to the max. If you've been that sick, you know what I'm talking about. And during that time, the Lord just spoke to him and said, "You know, why are you holding back from me? Why? Why are you holding on to the power and to the pride that is a part of your life?" And so he said, "I vow from now on, Lord, that I'm going to give you my life." And he came to make Jesus Christ Lord and Savior of his life. And it was amazing to see those men as they went forward. Mission changes us. It changes us. We think we're going to help a group of people, and that's fantastic. But it changes us as well. So we are changed, and others are changed as we do mission from this church. And I just want to tell you that not only are others changed, but our church is changed as well when we do mission. We become a part of God's larger plans for the world. Whether we're praying for others we never dreamed of praying for, or supporting others in a way that stretches us, or going out in mission to unfamiliar places, we are changed. More of God is coming into our hearts, and our lives are transformed. When we step outside our comfort zones, we live more by the power of the Spirit and less by our own power. When we fully rely on God instead of relying totally on ourselves, all things are possible. When we as a church give more of ourselves and our resources to those in need, we are truly blessed, because God blesses us more and more as we give to others. So let's go down the list in our sermon notes. Mission and service consists of awareness of a human need. Jesus consistently focused on giving more and more of his self to others. He healed them physically as well as dealing with their spiritual needs. So he brought healing, and he fed them, and he prayed for them, and he served them. And he calls us to do the same, to be aware of the human needs that are out there. Next, mission and service means perceiving God's call to do something. I guess it's human nature to be comfortable where we are. And we are comfortable around people that we have a lot in common with. And this makes us kind of reluctant to risk stepping outside of our comfort zones. We can't always perceive what God is calling us to do when we're just busy being comfortable where we are. We need to pray and ask God to show us. I loved being a part of the prayer group when Deborah Yarborough started talking about the book that she had read about water. and about the great need for water in different parts of the world. And then I just love watching her as she just prayed and was seeking God, saying, what can we do as a church? What can we do? And God gave her the answer, and so the Lenten Water Project was born, and we are so blessed to contribute to water in parts of the world that are war-torn, that are dark. It's a great blessing to be a part of that as a church. And then next, something that happens when we take risk in mission is that we get feelings of unworthiness and inadequacy. This happens so often, and I truly believe it's the work of Satan. I believe he starts talking to us and going, oh, you're not talented to do that. Oh, no, you've never done that before. You can't do it. You might look like a fool. Don't do that. That might, you know, no, you won't be successful. The whispering in our soul starts, and I think it happens all the time. You know, if we listened, there would be so many people that went hungry, that didn't have shelter. There wouldn't have been a mission team to El Salvador. However, when we listen to God and we say, get behind us, Satan, we don't want any of that, then we can go forward. And we give a courageous response. That's the next one. Sometimes we just have to say yes. Yes. And trust that God will do the rest. We have to keep our eyes on Jesus. It's just like Peter, you know, when he got out of the boat. He was fine as long as he kept his eyes on Jesus. But when he looked down, he started sinking. When we keep our eyes on Jesus, then we can do miraculous things. Next, we use our spiritual gifts and material resources. Each one of us belonging to Jesus has spiritual gifts. Everyone. There's nobody here who didn't get a gift. And sometimes some of you are much more patient than I am. You have a good gift of patience. And there are many of you who carry the spirit of peace into the most chaotic situations. And I love that about you. And there are many who are truly kind. And there are many who have the special gift of gentleness that you need with children when they're in vacation Bible school, running in every direction. God really uses those who are faithful to pray. So important. And it's not even possible to accomplish mission without generosity, the gift of generosity. All these things come into play. And then, I know you're going to find this hard to believe, church. I know you will. But sometimes we have to overcome resistance. I know that's hard to believe. I didn't tell you this about the mission team that went to El Salvador, but there was a ton of resistance. There were people in the church who said, no, you shouldn't be going there because that is not a United Methodist church that you're building down there. Never mind that it was for Jesus. There were others that, I have to tell you what happened. One day I was in a Wednesday night service, so I was late getting to the mission committee meeting. When I walked in the door, they were literally leaning over the table, screaming at each other. That's how conflicted that leadership team was. That stopped. And then the program manager, who was so wonderful and organized, got shingles. Couldn't go to Alaska. But we went, and there was a great, great blessing, as I've already said. Overcoming resistance. We have to be expecting it and know that God is more powerful than anything that Satan can throw at us, and more powerful than people can throw at us, for sure. And then we have to open ourselves to suffering if we're going to do risk-taking mission. This is in two ways. One is, it's really hard to look at little children who are hungry. It's hard to look at that kind of suffering. It's an emotional thing. But God can help us. And it's also hard to know that we could get sick when we go. You know, we're risking our physical bodies. It can be tough sometimes. So God calls us to look into his eyes, and to look into Jesus' eyes, and to empty ourselves and to allow him to fill us. And another thing that happens is we make a difference. When we follow the example of Christ, we make an eternal difference. Eternal difference. The things that happen aren't just things that feed people for a day. When they get the good news of Jesus Christ, they are fed forever. It's a good thing. It's a good thing. And we discover meaning and purpose. I love all the things in Scripture about Jesus. He takes the simplest things. He takes a fish and he talks to the disciples about becoming fishers of men. He takes the wine and the bread, and it's the body and the blood that he is giving for us. Simple things. We will see simple things that have great meaning when we do risk-taking mission. And finally, we have to invite others. It's so important that we invite others in the community to be a part of the mission, because they are transformed as they become a part of it. And I love Beth Thornberry. I love how she invites the kids from the school to come and be a part of Saturday Sacks. And some of them, you know, I don't think they know what church people do. They think we dress up in our prettiest clothes. We come here, we sing a couple of strange songs that they've never heard before, and then we go home on Sunday. I don't think they really know what the church is called to do. So it's so good when people of the community come and they become a part of the mission. It's good. Churches that value risk-taking mission and service value contact, engagement, and relationships. It's so important that we don't just throw money at a situation, that relationships happen, and that they go deeper and deeper and deeper over time. I love so much contacting and talking with Mwamba Ilunga. For those of you who don't recognize that name, that's our student that we're sponsoring in Zambia. He said to tell y'all, he didn't say y'all, but he said to tell you, church, that he is so grateful to you for your support for his schooling. He is doing so well. And he told me last time we chatted a little while ago that he loves engineering, and that he would love to be an engineer one day, and that he wants to learn everything that there is to know about maths, with an S on it, maths, which really makes sense as it's mathematics, maths. He wants to learn everything. And I said, better you than me, buddy. You can learn from me too. He's so excited, and he is so grateful, and it's so neat to get to know these folks better and to be in relationship with them. So keep praying for Mwamba and his family, if you will. It means the world to him. It means the world. And then just want to say, many of you, I talk about Pastor Charles all the time. You probably get sick of it, but he's just one of my dearest friends in the whole world. And he's the perfect example of being in relationship. Because when I was in Zambia, we were side by side. There was nobody that was the boss. We were ministering side by side. And now he has gone outside of his comfort zone, left Africa, taken his family into the Amazon where the Zika virus is, and there they are. He learned Portuguese. He's just going out to the islands, you know, taking the good news of Jesus Christ. So thank you to church for those of you who are supporting his ministry, both through the budget giving and through your individual gifts. He's a special, special person. It's good. Now I have a challenge for you. I really am so thrilled. I know God's pleased with the fact that we're on 16 now. Missions for this year. It's really, really, really powerful and good. And I think God is really asking us to step outside our comfort zone. I know it's increased manyfold in the last 2 years what we're doing, but he's asking us to go further and deeper because the scripture says all of us, we are to empty ourselves, to become less so that he can become more in our lives. We have to be willing to trust him and to take the risk. And I just know that he's calling us to go into all the world in mission, into all the world. And so I just want to remind you of the mission that's coming up in October. We have a mission to Redbird in Kentucky, the poorest county in the United States. And there's some generous people in this congregation who have given to that mission to make it happen. Mount Zion is on board. They have a whole team of people that are going, even a little boy going on this mission. 1 week in October, October 22nd, that week, there's somebody else in this church that's supposed to go. And I really want to get you men to think about this. Because Bill Silvers is going, and Pastor Brotherton is going, and another man from their church, and a little boy. We need another guy. And if there are women that feel called to go, great too. But I want to speak to the men. This is not a huge construction thing. If you can do Saturday sacks, you can do this. We're going to be giving out commodities to the people in the community. So we're going to be assembling boxes of good things to give to them. So just pray about it. Do you know that it's been over 14 years since this church has gone out of the state in mission? We're called. We're called to go into all the world. We're called to take a risk. And because of the generosity of the faithful people, your way is already paid. It's not going to cost you a dime except what you would lose if you're working. Then you give that as a gift to the Lord. Take a risk. Do something that you haven't done before. Pray for this mission. Pray, because we're going to start to prepare in August to go. So pray for it. Just really talk to God about what will happen, that lives will be changed and touched by this mission. Because things can happen that are beyond our belief and our understanding when we go out in mission that is so beyond what we can imagine. I ask you, church, think about it. Think about it. On your mission sermon notes here, there's a place where it says, what can we do? What things can we do to move outside our comfort zone to be willing to empty ourselves and to let God fill us? What can we do? That is our thought for this week. Let us be willing to step out of the boat. Let us be willing to empty ourselves that God may fill us. Let us risk mission in his name. Amen.
Please take out your hymnal again and open to number 408 and stand and join in singing The Gift of Love, number 408. Thank you.
Now, brothers and sisters, as you go from this place, take a risk for Jesus. Let him fill you to overflowing. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.